Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 111. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting beside me is Ken Phillips. What's happening, good sir?
Great, Kevin. We finally made it. It's our 111st episode. Pretty pumped. This is a Friday record, so we're going to see if we can keep the positive vibes going from our last Friday recording. I think that went fairly well.
Not plunge into the garbage that was the one before that.
That's right, yes.
That I felt like both of us were about ready to fall asleep in that on that show. But I feel pretty awake.
Yeah.
There is definitely one blood-boiling topic that we've picked for this week.
Yes.
But we are not starting with that. We are starting with something that is, I guess, in some ways near and dear to my heart. Anything that involves McDonald's, since I may happen to work on them for a real living, always draws my interest. And this story, it was just posted on the 28th of July here, and it was something that evidently, it originally popped up September 10th, 2001.
Yeah, so that was when the trial went through, so it explains, like, why people haven't really, aren't familiar with it, probably.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was still, at that time, professionally working on McDonald's. So, again, any McDonald's topic tends to draw my interest. And the fact that I had not heard of this story, to me, was a little surprising. Even though, obviously, September 11th came the following day.
Right. So that kind of wiped this story from everyone's minds for, I think, understandable reasons.
Yeah, I think there are definitely more important things going on at that point.
But this takes place in, like you said, 2001 is when most of the events went down here, although they started earlier.
Yeah, the final events took place that year.
But this article is like a really kind of a deep dive kind of investigation into the story of how this all happened, and mainly the story of...
Oh, well, yeah, and I guess I just said that it involved McDonald's. This is how... And it was kind of funny. I mean, this was the other reason why I enjoyed this article, is that... what was the article there? How an ex-cop rigged McDonald's Monopoly game and stole millions.
Yep.
And in my opinion, I always felt like the game was rigged. I will admit to definitely having purchased some additional McDonald's during any time that the Monopoly game was being played. I like Monopoly the game itself. It is definitely a childhood memory of mine of playing with... not necessarily my family at large, but definitely with my younger brother and some neighbors in some very competitive games.
Yeah, I can remember playing Monopoly with my family for sure. And it does have like kind of a soft spot, traditional childhood memories kind of a vibe to it. So I think that's probably one of the reasons why this has been such a popular game for McDonald's and has been a very successful promotion for them over the years. But you're right. It always seemed like there should be a way, like, okay, it occurred to me at first, I guess, that, like, each piece is equally likely for you to get, right? So, like, all the I'm sure people know, but the way the game works is you get different Monopoly spots from the Monopoly board as game pieces. And if you collect combinations, or there's a few instant winners also, I guess.
Right.
You can win prizes. But then it did occur to me that there is probably like a rare piece that is the one that you really need to get in order to complete these prize packages.
Yeah, I think that became clear to me pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
Within trying to collect these pieces, even at a younger age.
But this article goes into sort of really the process and behind the scenes of how those pieces were produced. And
yeah, that is definitely one of those deeper dive parts of this. Like, if you want to kind of break the story down to like the bare bones, you could probably pump through it pretty quick. But yeah, the how everything was set up is, you know, it was really supposed to prevent something like this happening. But
the incentives were too much, I think, for some people to. You resist the temptation, I think.
Well, I don't know if you really say people, because it was really one guy spearheading the operation.
He was the kind of the mastermind behind it. And the way he pulled it off, I think, was really clever in terms of not being caught.
Well, and that was the other thing that, you know, you wouldn't have been able to tell at the time. Because the guy was an ex-cop, he had, like, everyone come up with a backstory. Even though they actually lived in a very limited area, he would make them go to all kinds of parts of the country.
All right, I feel like we may be getting a little ahead of ourselves since we haven't actually described what the scam we're talking about here, I guess. because he, like we said, he was actually an ex-cop. Who was in charge of security,
and he really wasn't. He wasn't an employee of McDonald's itself. He was an employee of Simon Marketing, who was in charge of distributing the game pieces securely,
and I guess printing them too, probably.
Yes.
So they produced all the game pieces. You know, all the common game pieces, basically, randomly, and just sort of print them out on sheets and send them out to go get added to the milk shakes or fry packages or what have you that you get at McDonald's. But the special winning ones are kind of actually not produced with the, like, normal run of things. Very carefully monitored. Like, they said that this guy was, like, checking the shoes of people as they left the factory to make sure that nobody was trying to sneak any of the winning tickets out to get prizes, you know. And, I mean, some of these were big money. I mean, one was $1 million, instant win right off the bat.
Right.
But they also had other ones that were, you know, 100,000.
Yeah, there was a Dodge Viper was another prize.
So this guy, yeah, he had access to all of these prizes.
And what was that? Because they kept on calling him Uncle Jerry throughout the...
Jerome Jacobson is his real name.
Yeah.
But he was smart enough to realize that he couldn't just claim these prizes himself. Or beyond that, even to be all, you know, just friends of his.
Claiming
these prizes.
Yeah.
He actually, the method he used was to go out and find people who he just kind of randomly met while traveling. Because he was traveling all the time. Because he had to travel to different locations to like, monitor their printing. And, like, you know, they would be printing tickets in different locations, too. There was some kind of, like, supercomputer algorithm that would tell them where the winning ticket should be printed. Because that is kind of like the market that it would end up in. And one of the weird things about the story was that for some reason he thought the fact that McDonald's would never allow them to have a winner in Canada was somehow something he'd be able to use as a chip in his pocket to blackmail the company, I guess. Which is just a weird little subplot that they throw in here.
Yeah, and that, I would have to say that is not deep dive material. It is just something that is thrown in there as an aside.
They really hated Canada for some reason at McDonald's or this company. Oh, the other point, he was born in Youngstown, Ohio. Jerome Jacobson. So that should have been a big tip off that this guy could definitely turn crooked, potentially. People there have no respect for the law.
Yeah.
It's a very get your own while you can sort of mentality, I think.
Well, and he really wasn't a cop for very long either.
That's true, too.
I mean, it really was through no fault of his own because he had a neurological disorder.
Yes, he had to leave, basically had a prolonged medical leave and then was let go.
Yeah. So, yeah, he started doing security is his job.
Which he took very seriously from all appearances.
Right. And it was kind of interesting that they did have an auditor, an independent auditor with him all the time. But he would actually duck her and switch out pieces.
Right.
Usually, well, and I guess that already kind of gives things away, is that it seems, at least with the way the article talks, it was always a female auditor. So he would lose this auditor in the rest. He would go to the restroom to avoid her oversight.
Yes.
To, you know, change up the pieces so that he could steal the real ones and come back with phony ones.
Yeah.
Or just more common pieces that are going to get distributed.
Yeah, because he was able to, switch them out when he went to the bathroom, basically. So
right.
That's that seems to kind of take away the point of having an auditor if the auditor can be gamed like that so easily and like everybody knows it. Like, I don't know. Like, what's the point, in other words? Like, either you trust this guy or you don't. But if you don't trust him, you probably shouldn't let him take the tickets in the bathroom. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, it seems like everyone trusted him, though.
Right. You but know, then why do you have the auditor, I guess, at that point? But,
oh well. Yeah.
And also, it's one of the...
I don't know. I guess they just think that two people were less likely to... do the wrong thing. Yeah. You have a little bit of oversight for the other person, no matter who's in control of it.
And maybe that would give, you know, evidence that there was no wrongdoing or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, well, anyway, it didn't really work out, as we said. he was able to find people, as we said, during his travels, sort of approach them with this, you know, crazy proposition that he would give them a winning ticket in exchange for some cash, a little kickback from their winnings.
Right.
And then eventually he would actually make them pay up front before he would give them the ticket.
Yeah, which I can't really blame him for going that route.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because there's not like a contract that's enforceable. You don't really have any leverage at all once someone has won the money in a criminal kind of situation like this.
Right.
I mean, you could out them, but then you're outing yourself. So it's kind of a little pointless.
Yeah. There's some problems to be had with that method.
Yeah. But it's amazing because they basically, this guy, through his criminal enterprise, was basically the only people to win this game. from what I'm understanding here, during a long period of its run,
well,
he basically could not win the big prizes playing Monopoly at McDonald's.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah, because what was it? Oh, yeah, because they had falsely claimed more than $24 million in cash and prizes was what he ended up giving away and partially getting back as a kickback.
Right.
Which is a whole lot of dough. And, as the one part of the article says, that the sprawling network of mobsters, psychics, strip club owners, convicts, drug traffickers and even a family of Mormons.
Yeah.
They really did have... this guy... Yeah, Jacobson was really kind of smart enough to do everything he could to prevent being found. But
to getting things tied back to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he would find people who would... And it wasn't even that he would find people as sometimes to claim the prizes. He would find people who could then find people who would claim the prizes. So there's like that extra layer of protection for him there.
Right.
That he can't be traced back to. You know, at least in an obvious sense in terms of like, hey, why does all these people from this one town keep winning? You know, he avoided that problem.
Well, yeah, and I guess when you stopped me, we're kind of far enough along within the story, because some of the people were within a very small radius.
Yes.
Of each other, because like there were some friends of his that were from Jacksonville that he just sent them to other parts of the country. Like, because he stole them from the different factories, he knew that that piece needed to be found in X area.
Yes, because he knew where the which market had was supposed to have the winning piece. Yeah,
right.
So sometimes it would be people who were pretending to be on vacation or like staying with a family member or something like that.
Yes,
and just happened to find the piece while they were there, even though they might live, like you said, in this town that he was from. But that looked a little suspicious too, I think. So,
well, but even in some of the cases, though, they set it up where they gave the person a temporary residence there and made it look like they were living in the town, so that even though they were living actually in Jacksonville or wherever it happened, because again, he kept on changing people that he was giving prizes to, which again, you know, is kind of a smart idea to keep things not as traceable.
Yeah, it's tough when, I mean, you are, I guess this guy's, you know, you could say he's smart enough to figure out a way to do this. He was smart enough to, I guess, realize that he was not going to be able to, you know, make this much money basically through legal means, that he was able to control like such a valuable resource that he found a way to get some of that value towards himself, I guess. It's illegal, but
very much so.
Yeah,
and I mean, he was doing pretty good too, because for the security firm, he was making $70,000 a year. So I mean, the guy wasn't exactly making chump change, especially when you consider this was the '80s when he was making this, and not the 2010s.
Yeah, I mean, $70,000 a year in 1980s money is a lot more than kind of most people I would think would be making.
Yeah.
Back then. So you're right to point that out, that that probably would have been a reason to not be greedy and try to get that extra money. But
yeah, he wanted even more though, and he went for it. I always find the criminal thing kind of crazy, like, because almost always at some point you're gonna get your ass bit.
You would think so. I mean, there are people who don't get caught. Jack the Ripper, famously,
did not
get caught.
And we've talked about who was that? D.B. Cooper.
Oh yeah.
In previous shows,
but that I think is kind of, yes. That the reason that is such a crazy story is because that sort of thing really never happens.
Yes, most people do not parachute out of a plane after they've stolen sums of money.
Right. so, yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy little story here. It does confirm your suspicions, Kevin, regarding the rigged nature of the McDonald's
Monopoly game.
Yes.
Yeah, it was not by McDonald's, though. Again, I cannot stress that enough. The people that indirectly give me large sums of money really did not have anything to do with this.
And to back you up more, Kevin, McDonald's did, after this whole fiasco was over with, do a make good prize drawing.
Yeah, and they did. There was one time where someone dropped $1 million off at a hospital. They kind of felt guilty about...
It was this Jerome character.
Or did Jacobson actually do it?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Okay. Well, and I guess that was the other thing about the article that was pretty interesting, because it seems like he was very honest about kind of how things went down and what his line of thinking was within this article.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of came clean, and... In the end, I think he didn't really serve that much time.
No, not really. I feel like it was only 3 years or something like that.
Yeah, they did, of course, put in the obligatory... when the judge sent him to jail for 37 months, he did not pass go. Which I can't... I know, I can't really blame the author for this one. He did a good job. He spent a lot of time dealing with this Monopoly scam. I think he's allowed to make this kind of pun, or whatever you want to call this, reference.
Yeah, to... I was going to say, it is definitely not a pun, but yeah, it is definitely straight lifted from the Monopoly game.
Yeah, a dad joke, I guess you might call it.
Yeah, I think a dad joke is probably a good way to go.
Yeah, so that is... the crazy story of the ex-cop who ran a whole ring of people to defraud the Monopoly game.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a heck of a thing that happened there. Because I guess I was just trying to think if there was anything else. Because some of the characters that were involved in this were just kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah. He was involved with a mobster... as they said.
Oh, and I forgot that the mobster died.
Right, and his wife was driving the car that crashed, and he was killed.
Oh, right.
And then, like, his family, the wife's in-laws, were, like, acting like they were going to kill her because they thought that maybe she had done it on purpose somehow. So, yeah, that was a weird little subplot, too. There's a lot of little goodies on this article. And we found out you can actually listen to the article almost as a podcast in its own right.
Yeah, which both of us admitted in hindsight that it probably would have been a little bit easier in consumption had I just listened to it. I'm not sure. Sometimes I do feel like I digest the information a little bit better with my eyesight and reading it, though.
Yeah, it probably is some kind of difference there, but it's a pretty similar process, I think. Whatever works best for you, we'll leave it up to you. You've got options.
Yeah. Now that we've given you the heads up on this one,
mm-hmm. We're not going to hold your hands through the whole thing. You can make your own choices.
Yeah, but just like don't be like us ninnies and not notice the bar.
Yeah, because then you're going to miss out on one of your choices that you could be doing. Well, we were talking about kind of not understanding criminals, Kevin, taking risky kind of moves, seemingly without care. Our next story is just such a tale, Kevin, of Radoin Faid, I think, 46. A French gentleman.
Yeah, that's he is 46 and somewhat recently, at least at the beginning of the month here, broke out of a French prison in what one can only call movie style.
Well, it's interesting you say that because he actually did claim that Michael Mann, I think, that was the director of Heat was his was his tutor almost in terms of how to pull off some of his heists and things like that. That's what this gentleman told Michael Mann when they met somehow back in 2009, I believe it was. But we're talking about something that happened a little more recently than that, even after that.
Yeah, because that was what landed him in jail. The robbery stuff landed him in jail.
Yes. But he's actually escaped from jail twice. This is the most recent time. But, yeah, this one involved helicopters, men with assault rifles and smoke bombs, and angle grinders, which I guess you can use to kind of cut through bars and things.
Yeah, that definitely seems very popular in movies these days. The angle grinder instead of using some other type of cutting device. It does make some sense. They're very compact and very powerful.
I hadn't really known what an angle grinder was until I think I saw it on a YouTube video recently. Somebody was using it to kind of, I think, polish off an axe or something like that. And, yeah, it does look like it would do a pretty decent job of cutting through whatever you needed to get through, or grinding through it, basically.
right.
So that's what they did here, Kevin. Unfortunately, the...
well, and you're scrolling down, but I think that it bears mentioning, as it does in the article, that this guy is just a comic book villain in some ways. Yeah. Because in 2013, he used dynamite to break out of a prison in northern France. I mean,
yes,
this is some Wile E. Coyote shit here.
You're right. I kind of did gloss over that. I think I might have mentioned he did have another escape, but you're right. He did blast his way out of a prison in 2013 in northern France. So, like, this guy blasts his way out of prison, and then somehow 5 years later, is maybe he's still in prison from that. I don't know.
Well, yeah, because they caught him, because it does say later in the article that, because the botched armed robbery was in 2010. And then 6 weeks later, after the first breakout, he was found and taken back to jail because he was serving 26 years, starting in 2011 there. So that's a long time to be serving. And 2013 is not 26 years, and neither is 2018.
Nope. You're right. So I guess he's still in there. And he probably did not get time off for good behavior just based on using the dynamite alone. I would think that you would have to have a shitload of good behavior to really offset that.
Well, yeah. And I guess I'm not sure after the dynamite how this guy is even honestly close enough that something like this can happen.
Mm-hmm. I question this prison, like the security of this prison.
I question the French prisons just in general.
Well, there's a couple problems here. Yeah,
twice to the same guy.
And one of the problems is they said that the wardens, there was two of them. I don't know if they're like how big this prison is, or do they have regular guards? But it seems like they had two wardens who may have been the only people there, both unarmed, who fled the scene. When the
the men with the assault rifles. I mean, again, not exactly blaming someone for you do not get in the way if you are unarmed and someone's bringing an assault rifle.
No, I would think not. Especially if you're at a prison. I mean, if you were at a school, maybe that'd be something different. But yeah. Right. It's understandable. I just don't understand why they didn't have any, why they weren't armed, I guess. But maybe that's just kind of the way they do it over there.
Yeah, you would think at least in prison that that they would be armed.
I would think so.
I know that some of the police in England do not have firearms.
The other problem, I think, is that this was seemingly out in, like, when you're building a prison, you don't necessarily want to build it, like, in the middle of the city, right? Where there's
people around.
So many people around, right? But But the other end of the problem is, if you have it too far away from everybody, then, like, nobody can come and help you if there's something, or at least they can't get there in time.
Right.
And that seems like that might have been the other end of the kind of spectrum that they fell on here, at least. Because they were, well, it didn't help that they were able to do this within 10 minutes, I guess.
They were very efficient, because there is one place to land the helicopter. So they came in that way, used the angle grinder to get into the area where Faid was being held. And they whacked a couple of people with their assault rifles and got on out of Dodge.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I wonder if he'll make it out for longer than 6 weeks this time.
Yeah, he has almost had 4 weeks at this juncture. He has had 4 weeks. Because the story has not been updated.
Yeah, we haven't seen an update here.
I would hope that if he was caught, that we would have seen the story by now.
Just doing a quick
look. But Ken getting all fancy with the search with Google.
Yeah.
That is it for the current times. But it's pretty crazy. The guy's pretty famous if he has his own Wikipedia page. And he's a criminal.
Yeah, I think he was known as the author at one point because he had written one or two books based on his criminal exploits and youth growing up. Which is interesting. I know in this country there's laws against making money from based on your crimes. Oh, wait, we do have a little bit of an update here. That 3 weeks after his escape, he was narrowly avoided recapture after being spotted by police near Paris. On July 24th, police identified him as one of two people inside a car observing a service station. As they moved on in, the suspects fled and managed to get away. The car was later found abandoned in a car park with plastic explosives inside. Oh, geez.
Yeah, this guy, honestly, just movie villain shit going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of like a Bond villain almost levels, I would say. Being able to, or like Lex Luthor kind of thing, yeah. Having people show up to break you out of prison. I mean, how much do you have to like this guy to show up to break, I mean, you know... I like you and all, Kevin, but I'm not sure I would show up to...
You're not going to break me out of prison? What the fuck, man?
I know, I'm sorry. I feel like that's a terrible thing to say, but...
Yeah, it is. You're now a terrible friend.
Well, it doesn't help that I screwed up with the moving date last week. So this is the second strike, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Who wouldn't break a friend out of prison? Especially after plotting it for 5 years.
Yeah, I guess
it... Because that is the other thing. Like, you are really staying loyal, like, and you were kind of going in that direction. Yeah. You are really staying loyal to that guy. Because, yeah, he breaks out in 2013, gets recaptured 6 weeks later. So he's sitting on this thing for, like, four and a half years.
Yeah, I mean, if you're one of these henchmen, like, you have to have it together enough to get a helicopter, get your assault rifles, your smoke bombs, your angle grinders. Like, you have some level of organization. Like, why wouldn't you just, you know, go on your own to do your own criminal stuff, you know? It seems like you've got what you need.
Well, yeah, it always seems like in the mob movies... Whenever the boss dies, you know, someone steps in to take his place. Yeah, I mean, he's away in prison. Or I guess if some of them are in prison, they mastermind their crimes from in prison and just control the underlings. But yeah, I mean, this has just got to sound like a bad idea, even if you're a criminal.
Mm.
But they did actually, they did surveillance, they think, with drones to help figure out the layout of the complex and the fastest ways in and out.
Gotcha. Oh, I was just reading a little bit more. I guess they said that they might have forced a flying instructor to, because they hijacked the helicopter from a nearby airfield.
Right.
So that's how they were able to kind of pull that off. I guess maybe these guys weren't as together as I thought initially. I thought they might have learned to pilot the plane or something like, or the helicopter. But
no. 5 years would be enough to learn how to do that, I would think.
I think so.
4.5.
If you really apply yourself, I think you could do it within 5 years. I don't know how many hours of flying time you need, but you could probably fit enough in there if you really were going for it. So maybe these guys aren't the go-getters that I thought they were, Kevin. I don't know. Changing my mind.
I still say take over the criminal enterprise without the boss's help.
But speaking of not needing the boss's help, Kevin, there's a group of people out there who feel like they don't need the help of Disney or any professional movie makers.
Well, supposedly they have some.
Oh, I guess you're right.
If you are somehow not familiar with this, there was an internet collective, quote unquote, that is kind of nameless, that was calling on Disney to remake The Last Jedi.
Yeah, they had a webpage, and I guess they still do. Which we were looking at it briefly until my eyes rejected it.
Yeah, until both of us wanted to stab our eyes out. I mean, it was very nice of CNET, as they put it, in the press release sent to CNET and posted online, the remake, the Last Jedi producing team reaffirmed their commitment to fixing a product they just plain didn't like. We read it so you don't have to. You know what? Again, that's why, like, we were 5 seconds into looking at that site, and it was not happening. So God bless them for reading that whole thing.
Yeah, and they point out some of the more ridiculous things here. So I guess we should probably just say off the bat that this idea to remake The Last Jedi is basically ridiculous. I mean, there's no, and some of the rebuttals, I guess, that are given in this article kind of point that out.
Yeah, because it was pretty easy to tell the tone of the article. Just again, the headline maybe not as accurate as we've seen, but probably because they're being smartasses. The remake, The Last Jedi crew are still really serious about fixing Star Wars, guys. I mean, that definitely lends a mocking tone to set this article up.
Right. They are responding basically to different parts of the article, a bit different parts of the manifesto or press release.
Yes.
So the press release reads in part, reason part, we tried to be clear that we would cover the budget for a remake of The Last Jedi if Disney shared the intellectual property. The response is being, come on, they don't want Disney to pay for the movie. They just want Disney to hand over the IP that it spent $4 billion on to a group of unnamed people on the internet. Yes. So that does not seem very likely to me that these people would actually be allowed to make this movie.
Yeah, I don't know why they need the intellectual property.
Because of the characters and likenesses or whatever, like they're not they're like licensed by Disney.
Couldn't you just kind of make your own characters? I guess, like, if you hate the movie that much, why do you want those characters in the movie?
Yeah, I think that they liked the characters too, or at least Luke Skywalker, for sure they liked. But they didn't want, like, so they could get rid of Rey and Finn, probably, I'm guessing. But then still have Luke Skywalker, but that would not be cool, I don't think, with Disney either.
Yeah, that's it. I definitely have not done a deep dive into these guys' opinion. Just simply due to the fact that I really enjoyed The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I thought it, I mean, I don't think it's a perfect movie, but I watched it again recently because it was on Netflix, and I liked it actually better. I liked it more than the first time I watched it. So, I feel like it's a good movie and a risky movie to make for sure. Not like a safe by the numbers kind of blockbuster movie, but that was why. That's kind of why one of the reasons I liked it. Because it was like there's unexpected things that happened in it, so it was interesting, and not really like in the, I don't know. I guess I'm not a huge Avengers, Infinity Wars fan,
Boo.
but that was, you know, there was unexpected things that happened in there that movie too, I guess. But
Right.
I feel like. Of the two, I like Last Jedi's handling of it better.
Boo. Well, actually, I'm not sure. I liked both movies just an awful lot. And I guess, yeah, that's the other thing that kind of helps me agree with the tone of this article, I guess, is that, yeah, I see no reason to remake this movie at all. Like you said, like it might not have been perfect, but
It was still
I
really
don't
good.
know. I mean, are there still are there little tweaks that you might even make to? I'm just gonna throw this out there, like The Godfather or something like that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say The Lord of the Rings, and I was going to be like, "How dare you, sir?" No.
Oh, no.
Oh,
No.
okay.
They
The
did.
Godfather. I don't know if I would change anything in The Godfather, to be honest, but maybe I could find something.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I'm sure that there's some little thing that they're like, oh, well, they didn't think about this little angle or something like that.
Yeah.
That or there's, I guess I always feel like if you really are trying to find something, you can find it. And I guess that the problems with The Last Jedi weren't, to me, big enough to go into picking those nits.
No. And, like, who the hell do you think you are that because you don't like it, you deserve to make another version of it? Like, how does that work for anything? Like, I don't know, because me, well, all right. Now that I'm saying this out loud, I'm going to take the contrary position.
Sure.
Maybe it should be that anyone can make any movie, you know. The Star Wars films have been like around for 30 years. Like, it used to be that your copyright that you know would have run out by now. You know,
Oh.
you know, the way the laws originally worked,
Right.
in which case anyone can make a Star Wars movie. And maybe that's the way it really should be.
But you're just saying a Star Wars movie. I mean, almost all of these characters, though, are less than 30, far less than 30 years old.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But you could make a Luke Skywalker movie, which would probably make these people happy, from what I can tell.
I guess it would be interesting. Like, unfortunately, I didn't get the chance. I did want to see Solo. I heard at least decent things about it.
Yeah, I saw some reviews that said it wasn't really, yeah, it wasn't really as god awful as you might have heard, or you know, the kind of negative hype for it was.
Yeah, both Jeremy and Shahid, who do We Watch Stuff, they both fell into that category of the hate was maybe pushed a little too much. And that it's definitely an enjoyable movie. It's no by no means perfect. There's a different, and I guess to me, Yeah, like both of them kind of gushed about the Last Jedi. And I guess that's who I kind of use as a barometer. Not just them, but generally a lot of people that I know enjoy The Last Jedi. Which is, again, another reason why it's kind of just funny.
Yeah, and just given the laws that we do have, you don't have any right to make a movie based on someone else's ideas just because you didn't like it.
Right.
So... I that is kind of the part that gets me is like the, but then like I said, I can see both sides of it. Like, I guess the idea that like because it, they didn't like it, they have to remake it. Like they can't handle it being out there. They have to try to erase it in some way. Is that like that? That's kind of what it feels like.
Just walk away from the product, man.
Yeah.
That's it. There's just a little bit of an entitlement thing.
Yeah.
That comes with it that, you know, I will fully admit to being disappointed by episodes 1, 2, and 3.
I think I'm in the same boat with you there. Yeah.
But these recent 7, 8. Here.
Yes.
Have been really good, in my opinion. Like, I like The Last Jedi more than, and I'm trying to remember...
The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
Yes.
I don't know why I could not pull that one out. But I do like it. I did like it better. I watched both of them at least twice in the theater. And maybe more since then. Well... Not I know that I haven't seen The Last Jedi more than twice, but The Force Awakens I might have seen on TV or something at some juncture.
Yeah, and I saw it the most recent time. I saw it with Jackie, who, you know, genuinely liked the movie, which is not something that, you know, is a given for her in terms of, you know, sci-fi and stuff like that. So
gotcha.
She enjoyed The Last Jedi. Weirdly, Kennedy wasn't into it. And her criticism seemed weird, which was that there was not enough female presence in the movie, not enough women characters, and women in charge in general. And I was like, I don't know. I felt like there was quite a few women in charge in that movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That could give us an idea into the expectations of the next generation, Kevin. We're all it's going to be female overlords.
Well, I guess I'll probably be dead before there are female overlords.
You could live to see the beginnings of it, the new gynocracy. I don't know. Just came up with but, that one.
Yeah, I that is a little bit strange with obviously Rey being a main feature again,
mm-hmm.
the second straight movie, Carrie Fisher. Is Princess Leia certainly being a central figure
yep.
in it. And even...
Admiral Holdo, I think.
Yeah, Admiral Holdo.
I can't remember her name. Laura Dern, that's it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of... I can remember her name because it's at the top of the article, Kelly Marie Tran. And I'm trying to think of... Oh, Rose Tico.
Yeah, you know, for some reason I thought that she died the first time I watched the movie, but then the second time I saw that she didn't die at the end.
No, so, she did not
that was
perish.
Good. That made me feel better about her character.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a whole separate subject, her leaving Instagram because people are asshats. Although they're kind of similar asshats to these people that feel like they want to remake the movie.
Yeah.
I did think, that part of things was a little...
Well, it's a similar kind of asshattery, really. It's like trying to make something go away that you don't like, basically.
Oh. Yeah.
Whether it's a person or a movie. I mean, it's a little worse when it's a person. But it's not great either way, I would say. So yeah, I guess these people, I would say, you know, move on with your lives.
Well,
it'll
yeah.
be okay. We you know, Kevin and I have lived through episodes 1 through 3 of Star Wars and the disappointment and yeah. bitterness that followed.
And I've still, like a sucker, gone on to the next one full of excitement, hoping that it will be better. And to me, I have been rewarded the last two.
Here's an interesting one, Kevin. And this is a little slightly off topic, but you don't mind this little...
I was actually hoping that we would get to these two other lines at the end.
Oh, well, let's do them first then.
The Disney is in a difficult position. They've written themselves into the corner and will have to make bold decisions to get out of it. And I'm just like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, what are you even talking about?
That
at this
movie
point?
Made a shit ton of money. Disney is like on top of the world, buying everything.
Yeah, I think the only thing, because is Marvel Studios part of Disney?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're just sitting on stacks of money.
Yes,
like,
they are.
Disney does not give two hoots about what these people have to say.
And The Last Jedi made a shit ton of money, too. So it's not like
yeah
they're in trouble.
Yeah, they had to pass the baton from... highest grossing movie from them to Infinity War.
Yeah.
So it's all under the Disney umbrella of making poop tons of money.
And I believe they're buying Fox Studios, so they're going to get all that
all the X-Men
movie money
pack.
Too. Yes. So I'm not sure why you would think they're in a difficult position. Exactly.
Yeah, and also, you were kind of liking the dad joke earlier, because the next line is, going back and remaking The Last Jedi is the only way to save the franchise. No, again, from the earnings, I think the vast majority of people that went to go see this disagree with you, sir.
Yes.
Or sirs and madams.
Yes, yes.
So, dad joke comes in. It says, would you say it's your only hope?
Yes, your only hope.
Yes.
Help me, internet weirdos. You're my only hope. Yep. So, this is weird that this is still happening out there. And I guess
I guess I always expect weirdness to happen at this juncture. Like, there's just so many crazy people that I guess some type of asshattery like this is unfortunately inevitable.
And I think I finally came down on in a consistent position here, Kevin, to say that I feel like in terms of being able to make Star Wars movies, I feel like anybody should be able to make a Star Wars movie.
Okay.
But I don't think that anybody should be able to remake a Star Wars movie that's already out there in an attempt to sort of blot it out from history and put your own vision out there as like the only true, vision of this movie.
Yeah. Again, it has been completely clear, I think, to me that a vast majority of people do not agree with their stance, but hey, go for it. Film. I mean, or at least they're saying that they have pretty much all the means to do this. Just record it with on a green screen or something, so that you can just dig in people's images after you finally get the intellectual property rights to do this.
I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, I'm just going to say that this would be a good time for the Ron Howard voice to come in as the voiceover and say, they did not have the resources to do this, because I don't think they have the resources to do this. the one of the funnier parts was the pledge form that they have on their website doesn't actually process payments or anything of the sort. It's just you put in a number that you want to put in. You're not going to be expected to pay the number. Just go ahead and put a number in there. And then they use that to prove their point that people will back a movie, which is, I guess, illustrative of the level of self-delusion that we're dealing with here.
Yes.
But speaking of self-delusion, Elon Musk apparently thinks that he's going to be able to terraform Mars, Kevin.
Yeah, he had thrown that out there as an option that he wanted to, and we may have talked about it, that he wanted to nuclearize, aka drop nuclear bombs on Mars.
Wow, for some reason, I know I read that in this article here, but I don't know that we talked about the nuclear option specifically before in terms of terraforming Mars, but yes.
Maybe we didn't. But
we did talk about sending people there, I remember.
Yeah, Elon has a lot of kind of crazy crazy thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, he did not really cover himself in glory with the whole Thai cave diving situation, which, you know, is a completely other issue, but...
yes, and then people kindly requesting that he help Flint, Michigan get water back with his technology instead of worrying about that. But anyway, he did send out the, throw out the idea that nuking Mars might help bring about more atmospheric changes.
Yeah, so I think they're trying to get...
To help make it closer to Earth.
Mm-hmm. To get more of an atmosphere. Because Mars did, at one time, have an atmosphere and water, which were, at some point in the past, lost to space. So he's trying to get that back now. It sounds like, according to the studies that science has done, at least this most recent one, there is not enough actual CO2 and water vapor to be able to increase the atmosphere of the planet enough to be able to support life or to have it be like a livable temperature on the surface. So that's going to be a problem for Mr. Musk, I'm going to say.
They were smart enough to say that it's just a matter of present technology is not able to do this. They did not rule out a future technology possibly being able to do this.
Yeah. The other thing, though, is weird about Mars is that there is no magnetic field. And I think that was in the other article I linked for this topic. But due to the core not being composed properly, it does not create the magnetic field on Mars, which, okay, who cares? Your compass won't work. But that also provides the, is it called the Van Allen belt around the Earth that is able to, like, block the magnetic field around the Earth that blocks harmful radiation from the sun from getting to the ground. So on the surface of Mars, you don't have that. So you're actually getting radiated with deadly radiation from the sun, which is another issue, I would say.
Yeah, just another minor issue.
So you would also, I think, have to get the core of Mars somehow generating a magnetic field again, which to me seems like another issue that is not even being brought up here. So we'll see. I feel like I'm a little bit less gung-ho on going to Mars after some of this news, Kevin. And I'm a little less gung-ho on Elon Musk here, man. This guy's kind of seeming like he's losing it a little bit.
I mean, we started off with the car being shot into space.
Yeah, we all agreed that was pretty cool.
And then you have the Thai kids situation where he offers help where, quite frankly, it wasn't needed.
Yeah, his idea was probably not as good as just, you know, what they had down there. And getting into a fight with, I don't know if you saw that at all, Kevin, but he did get into a Twitter fight with one of the rescuers there, who had said something about him, you know, he should just basically leave and mind his own business or something like that. He called the rescuer a pedophile.
Oh, yeah.
Which, to me, I feel like you probably shouldn't just be throwing that around willy-nilly for no reason.
No, that is completely unnecessary.
And, you know what? I haven't talked to Elon since then, but I'm very disappointed in his behavior.
Our good buddy, Elon. Yeah.
It's a bad move. I don't know, man. He's also dating some goth chick now. I don't know if you saw that. That was a little strange, too. I think she's like a singer, too. But I had not really heard of her.
I don't know why I was thinking that that was someone else. That was because they were talking about them being from different worlds.
Yeah.
And I thought it was
it's something
someone
that starts
other
with
than
a
Elon
G.
Musk.
Oh.
But,
yeah, I'm just doing a quick Google, just in case it matters to anyone. Grimes is her name.
Oh, yeah. It is so surreal. Yeah, I guess it was Elon Musk.
So, yeah, I think he might be potentially losing it a little bit, so we'll see. Hopefully someone else can carry this Hyperloop dream forward. That's the one I'm banking on at the moment. So we'll see if that pulls through.
That one certainly seems more attainable than some of these other ideas that that he has thrown out there.
Yeah.
Since other people, it does seem like other people have been working on these Hyperloop type ideas. Since there are a number of different forms of locomotion.
And I'm pretty sure they're going to be doing a test Hyperloop in this Central Ohio area here pretty soon. At least that's what I had read. So that is pretty exciting. We'll keep you guys up to date, of course.
Well, I think that about wraps it up, other than to talk about the Belltime Beer of the Week, Ken.
Ding, ding. It's a fairly local one. Old standby.
They have a Columbus branch, although I don't quite understand that because they don't even have a pub here. But, Great Lakes Brewing is certainly one of the old school Midwestern brewing facilities because it came about in the early 90s instead of, the early 2000s.
Yeah, really ahead of the game there with the microbrewery trend.
Yeah, and I am not sure the last time I'd had, this is Burning River, isn't it?
Correct.
Pale Ale.
Mm-hmm.
And it is quite tasty. It isn't overly fruity, but it also isn't terribly bitter. Like, there's just enough bitter edge in there to make you know that it's a pale ale.
Yeah, I haven't had this one for a while, but it is quite good. I think I normally go with like the Dortmunder Gold, which is also, I feel like, a good choice from them. But
that's their IPA, though, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like that might be a lager.
Oh, yeah, that might be just their plain lager.
But their IPA, they have one called Commodore Perry, I believe.
Oh, yes.
And they may have another one, or the Lake Monster, I think.
Yeah, Lake Erie. Lake Erie Monster.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah, that one gets, you're really getting, I believe that's a double IPA. That, you really kind of are in for it if you're going for that one.
But I believe they do distribute fairly widely, at least they could be to the central Pennsylvania region as well.
Oh, yeah. I have. You can get them in the fine hometown of us, Altoona, Pennsylvania. So they have penetrated the market a good amount. Again, probably because of their longer history, I think, helps out quite a bit.
So it was good this week. We're able to share one that people have a chance to actually try themselves.
Definitely in the OPA region, no matter which part of OPA you are in, there are sales for it.
There you go.
So, yeah, go ahead. It's an old school one, but it's not a bad thing.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes I do maybe chase my tail sometimes too much trying to get the latest new beer.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's still a lot out there, so that's understandable. But don't forget about the old standards.
Yep. And with that, at Frango11, at Gozer33, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And have a good night.
See ya.